Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone. Yes, no one can do it like we do it, like we do it, like we do it. Cause no one can do it like we do it, like we do it, like we do it.
Hey, hey, hey.
Happy Thursday, Jordan.
Happy Thursday.
You ready for the weekend?
Always. Always. I know. I hate to admit that I look forward to weekends because when you're a person of leisure, as I pretend to be, weekends mean nothing to you. Mm-hmm. But the truth is, I have a job like a peasant.
Please stop talking about us being poor. It's not the image that we're trying to give out.
I know. I'm not supposed to work for a living. It's a curse. It's a curse.
But we're supposed to be some type of nepo children of some kind, you know, above it all. If we do work, it's just like play work, like Marie Antoinette, who had like, you know, a peasant village at Versailles. You know, that's what we do with our work.
I wasn't born to a hotel empire, so I spend my whole adult life chasing them.
Well, there you go. It's not a bad life. Not a bad life. Man.
It could be worse.
Mm-hmm. It could be much worse. It could be much worse. Yeah. But
you know, it was pretty good, though. It was a party we weren't invited to, sadly. But it was also in London, so that would have been an issue.
Mm-hmm.
Southwest doesn't fly there. But Victoria Beckham, a.k.a. I call her Posh Spice, her 50th birthday this week.
I mean, Posh Spice coupled, turning 50, coupled along with Jamie Lynn Spears' daughter going to prom last week.
Jesus.
Just has my mind exploding right now. And I kind of go, did this happen to our parents too and our grandparents? Or is it harsher now because of the internet? Because we used to get to a place, you know, where, you know, freaking Joan Crawford at 38 was over the hill and they were trying to get rid of her and you were trying not to see her anywhere anymore. But nowadays, you know, Victoria Spice, all the Spice Girls, I did not think that these women could look better at 50. They probably didn't even think they would look better at 50, but they do. They look better at 50. And God damn it. You know, I love her, but Jerry Halliwell, Ginger Spice, she again, playing Posh, and I mean Posh in the, you know, British sense, always wearing white because she wore a white dress to that wedding. See, I said it. She wore a white dress to that party. And I was like, honey, it's not your party. Don't wear white.
Yeah. You actually, I mean, especially in the celebrity circles, you know, white puts you at the center of attention. And
But that's her thing. Like, she always wears white. It's her quiet luxury thing that she does. And I was like, sweetheart, we all know where you came from and we love you still. Yeah. It doesn't matter. Like, yeah, you've got money now, but like, let's add some color there, at least some beige.
And by the way, in reading up and following along with this birthday party, I learned something. I guess it came out a few years ago, but she, Jerry Halliwell, was upset that it was revealed because, like you said, now she's prim and proper and wants to come off like an aristocrat. I didn't know. Way back, she had a one night stand with Scary Spice, Mel B.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's yeah. right. That
and
is
I
right.
guess Mel B was laughing about it. And she said, though, that Ginger Spice was upset she revealed it because it's not her image anymore.
I mean, come on.
She dressed the skimpiest of all the Spice Girls.
Well, and as we've talked about, her original Spice Girl name was Sexy Spice.
Mm.
It was Sexy Spice. And then they had to change it because, you know, it got to be a little PG-13 now. So, like, or PG. So, you know, it changed. And I don't know. Like, I think I sometimes just have a bigger problem with people pretending to not be who they used to be. Like, you know, I had a problem with a former president pretending to have not indulged in, and I don't mean a recent former president. I mean a president like 20 years ago who denied being a former alcoholic and drug addict. And I was like, come on, dude. Like, it kind of makes you more endearing and lovable, like, to, like, mm-hmm. know that, like, you're not perfect. Other people will clutch their pearls. But, you know, I think most people are like, oh, thank God. You know, it's just, it's hard living up to being Jesus all the time. So, but I loved everything that's coming out, though, from that party. It looked like it was so much fun, and I'm very jealous.
One thing I had trouble processing with this was that I felt bad for Posh Spice Victoria, because she arrived. She's like one of the chicest pop stars of all time. She arrived to her birthday on crutches because I guess she hurt her ankle. And she, like, I've never seen her in flats. Isn't that a thing? She wears, she's one of those who only wears heels. But the part I didn't buy is that she injured it working out in February. No, she is not that. She's Posh Spice. She is a Lee Radswell cigarette and couture diet. That is her. Her husband might work out, but a woman in that niche of I shouldn't even say weight, lack of weight, abundance of wealth, tons of style. She's like New York thin, not LA thin. Mm-hmm. And I did not buy that she was working out. Maybe it was her first time and that's why she injured herself.
Somebody managed to get her on a reformer and, like, all hell broke loose, including her ankle.
She was probably doing, like, Peloton with heels on. Something like that.
Why can't we put cleats on these heels on my Louboutins?
Yeah.
Oh, well, maybe for her 60th we'll be friends and we can go to that party.
Yeah. There was Tom Cruise was there, and he allegedly breakdancing.
Oh, please.
So, something for people to know, because it was there are no clips of it because they had a no phones policy. So you think that means it's a private event? What that really means is they wanted only their publicists. It's going to leak either way. It's about controlling what gets out to the press. It's not that they wanted privacy. Mm-hmm. I caught that. I was like, why are so many details leaking about an event we were never supposed to see? Because there are specialty high-end event publicists who just specialize in things like that, or Oscar parties or A-list weddings. And they make you think you're getting a sneak peek, but they wanted it.
Mm-hmm. Well, unfortunately, Nate is not with us because he is on a boat, not the Titanic, but he is on a boat coming back because, yes, Southwest does not fly to London, but he was able to fly to New York and then get on the boat to go to that party. And so he's on his way back. I mean, he had to, like, stop. He had a Carnival cruise ship, you know, swap in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. And now he's on his way back. So he doesn't have service. So we couldn't get him on here because he was at the party. But he also has some more information about, there's a tell-all book about the Beckhams coming out. So he will tell us more about that next week. And we'll talk about that. But that kind of goes into your thing. You know, there was the Beckham Netflix show last year, which I really enjoyed. Yet at the same time was like, they're skipping over stuff. And they're making some other stuff, like, look really nice. So this is going to be the dirty, like, trashy part.
Is it going to be like, is it, is this isn't book isn't being written with their participation. Nope. Okay. Nope. So it's going to be an expose,
This is unauthorized.
I don't even want to utter the name of the book that I'm thinking of that it will be like. Mm-hmm. But yeah. Oh, that will be fun. Mm-hmm.
Well, speaking of something else, like a little like salacious, but it surprised me, yet then I was like, this is completely on brand. Ye apparently wants to start a porn site.
Okay.
I was like, okay. I mean, the man, he was starting his own religion, he was starting a school, and now he's starting a porn site. What the hell? Like, please, please get this man back into therapy and on some medication, please.
What you were saying earlier about a former president who, like, totally... I guess it's two concurrent, like, two split personalities going on at the same time with Kanye. But in some of his rants and some of the things that have come out about his schooling, the school he runs and the upbringing and the, like, cult, like, the upbringing of his kids, he's so into Jesus and Christianity and, like, these conservative religious values when things aren't going his way. But he wants a porn site. He wants his... We don't know if she's legally his wife, but we'll just say it is. He wants Bianca literally in sheer nude, completely exposed in public. At, like, you know, I mean, I guess it is a part of the bipolar. I don't know.
Words fail me now. And this is in, you know, stark contrast to when he was with Kim and after she had started having children. Well, after, like, she at least had North and Saint or whatever. I don't even know what order they come in. At least after having two children, he started going after her for dressing too sexy. And he was like, I don't want the mother of my children. So he's got a whole Madonna whore complex with women in his life. So, and he dresses them up like dolls because they're not real people. Mm-hmm. So these are things for him to dress up, to have sex with, and to use however which way he wants to.
Yeah.
So, and that's what really sucks here. And I really hope that Bianca is able to get away from him at some point.
That's the thing. Kim came in, not an underdog, but she definitely at the time, celebrity wise, married up when she married Kanye. He was a world star. She was a reality star. Now she is Met Gala material and he's not invited, but at least she had a power of her own and it only grew. She could escape without trouble. This girl doesn't have the same power.
She doesn't. And that's probably what he's been looking for too, is a woman who doesn't have as much power. And also, I don't know much about Bianca's family. I mean, obviously she's Australian, so she's very far away from her family. We know that her father's been speaking up and is very upset, but so I'm not saying that her family doesn't care about her or anything like that. So I don't want anybody to misconstrue this, what I'm about to say. All I'm saying is that the Kardashian clan was right there with Kim and was able to, like, protect Kim, I think, a little bit better, or and also observe things and, like, was there. It was easier for Kim to leave in some ways. I still think it was very hard for her to leave. I think she was with him longer than she might have even really wanted to be. Who knows? But I think that her family being there and being supportive of her helped her leave. So if he's really isolated this woman from her family and from her friends, it makes it harder for her to leave.
Yeah.
And have a voice of her own. So yeah. I mean, and yeah. And then to start a porn site that is really is based around you, but also based around, like, your quote unquote wife. Like, that's just gross. If you were already porn stars and you're a couple who wanted to start a site, oh, fine, go for it. That's fine. But there's something I think that feels icky to all of us that doesn't feel very consensual here.
And also, like, it just shows how much more he's losing touch with reality. He's addicted to shock value.
Yeah.
But it isn't hitting the same way. I mean, we're talking about him, so I guess mission accomplished, but it's not. I mean, we've talked about how the Kardashians are now A-list, but not A++ list anymore. I wouldn't even call him A-list anymore.
I mean, you do know that you are a big deal when PCP is talking about you, though.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
I mean, he's got we'll a Google give alert out for that. Yeah.
But you know what I mean. He's not, he's chasing that. Look, he's watched now. Well, Beyonce's always been huge. Beyonce, Taylor Swift, who he tried tearing down. Biggest star in the world. Kim Kardashian left him. She's still on top. And he's just still acting out and doing these weird things trying, but it's kind of, it's a, he's a novelty now. He's not.
Ooh, yeah. Ooh, so, that's going to hurt when he hears that said.
Yeah.
Sorry, not sorry.
Yeah.
Man. Well, I don't think it's going to go very far. Anyhow.
Speaking of relationships, though, another one, and many call him the Kanye West of radio, of the Kanye West of radio, of I don't know, he does so many jobs, production, morning show, anytime there's an opening, it goes to him. Ryan Seacrest. I don't think they're alike at all. Although,
no.
Although Ryan did was the producer of the Kardashians. So
he was. Yeah. So, I mean, the news is that apparently he broke up with his girlfriend of 3 years, Aubrey Page. When I saw that headline, I was like, oh, he had a girlfriend?
News to us.
Like, didn't, I mean, I think we've all, like, if you've been listening to PCP for a while, you know what we think, and let me tap the side of my nose, what we know about Ryan Seacrest, allegedly, you know. So, I mean, 3 years, though, that's a good long time. So, you know.
Someone needs to just get, as I say, someone needs to put a ring on it. But what I mean is someone needs to, I don't know. I mean, just assuming these romantic relationships are allegedly platonic arrangements, grab it, like, just settle down. Each person can have a master suite in a different wing of the homes he owns. I hope they get good gifts, partying. Oh, you know, they probably, my theory, and I just put this out, it popped into my head right now, is that they probably get a exit package as long as they sign an NDA.
Yeah, you're right. You are probably right.
Yeah. Because we never hear them speak out about him with all the rumors. I mean, he's a very rich, very powerful man. And I don't mean that in a threatening way, but I mean stories about his private life would be interesting. Never a word. It's very amicable. Hashtag.
The one thing we do also hear too, or the one thing we do not hear about him, though, too, is that we do not hear bad things about him, though. We hear good things, that he's a good person, he's a good guy, and a nice guy. So I think that's another reason why sometimes people are willing to, like, look the other way.
Yeah.
And just be like, man, let's not rock that boat. So, yeah. Allegedly.
The modern Merv Griffin. Read into that what you will.
Well, I think Nate is getting plenty of, you know, boat time in which to listen to Taylor Swift's new album, all, like, what, 27 songs or however many songs there are.
31 or 32.
I mean, it's, I mean, I understand that I'm probably, I'm flirting with disaster right now to just say that I tried listening to it. I listened to a good chunk of it. And there were several times when I did not realize that three songs had played. I just thought it was just a very long song. Like, now there's a couple of songs that I was like, oh, this is good. Like, it had a lot of, like, drama into it and everything. But then there were some songs I was like, well, there's a reason that that this should have only been one album, like, instead of two. I don't know.
We've talked about it in the group chat and stuff, and I was so glad to see a New York Times article that agreed, because it's like, you know, people are afraid to speak out, even journalists. Mm-hmm. There are some critiques out there, this new album right now, that were published without a byline because the publication didn't want to get the author harassed and doxxed and threatened. But the fatigue of the Taylor Swift, even the fandom, like there's just fatigue. She just got off this world tour. People were like selling organs to get tickets and travel and dedicated their lives to what I think is like the biggest world music tour in history. Mm-hmm. And boom, like a matter of weeks later, she's like, okay, guys, go steal your grandma's jewelry. I'm starting back up again. It's tiring.
Yeah.
It's asking a lot of the public, like constant for my attention. Should have taken a year off or 6 months, something.
Just like enjoy the moment, actually. Mm-hmm. That's what it is. Like you're riding a high. Just enjoy the moment. Enjoy a little bit of the downtime that both you and Travis have. Like you're not on tour at the moment and he's not in spring training yet. Or maybe he is. I don't know what time when that starts. But like enjoy the moment. Enjoy the success at the time. I also kind of have a feeling of, I always like to see artists evolve, and I see like her style evolving at times, but I don't feel a lot of the content evolving. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of it is like rehashing. I don't feel like a lot of the content has evolved since like maybe the Reputation album in that sense. Mm-hmm. Like that's just me. Please don't come after me. Like I just like we're allowed to have opinions, and I don't hate her. I've seen her in concert. It was it was 12 years ago. Like I saw her in concert. My friend was like, "Do you want to go?" And I was like, "Sure. I don't mind Taylor Swift. I like some of her songs. Let's go." And it was a fabulous experience. It was a lot of fun. Like I don't hate. We've talked about this before. I don't hate Taylor Swift. Like some people hate her.
Yeah,
she's very catchy.
I enjoy her.
Yeah. And there's some stuff I also like. I think too, if I was a teenager or also in my early 20s, I think probably I would identify a lot more with it too. But I do think being in my 40s a little bit, I'm just a little bit like, okay, you got to let go of some of this like hatred towards some of these exes. Like you wrote a couple of songs about them. That should be enough to clear it out. Mm-hmm. Let's move on.
She just got off, like we said, the biggest world tour in history. I mean, consumed the world, literally. She's in a relationship that, fingers crossed, will go or be happy, whatever.
Yeah.
The point is, she doesn't need to like account for every single ex and every single experience. She could have just skipped over these past couple of chapters and surprised us a year from now, whether it's a wedding album or a Kelsey breakup album, whatever.
Yeah.
But it's like with her right now, I feel like it's quantity over quality, and she's just trying to churn things out to make sure, because I do think she's into the fame and addicted to being on top and doesn't want to. One thing about Beyonce, she'll give you something. Or look at Rihanna. I mean, Rihanna hasn't exactly made her fortune off music in recent years. She gives it to you when she wants. She's not worried about someone else having a bigger song than her. She's just Beyonce. Yeah. Beyonce won't even release her videos, her visuals. She's like,
yeah. Well, and Beyonce's releasing a new line of like hair care products that she's been working on, and she did like a really cool video, like showing like her hair, her hair washing day and like system, and it was just like, honestly, it had me mesmerized. I was like, I want to use this stuff. I was like, oh my gosh. I was like, if I can have hair like Beyonce, look at this. I was like, damn. But I'm not appropriating, no. But like, I mean, and that's the thing, is that she does, like, Taylor doesn't have to come out with a perfume or a makeup line or a hair care line. Like, she can do whatever the fuck she wants to do. Who gives a shit? She could become like, she could do like a Martha Stewart type of thing. Like, if she wanted to do something,
there
like
is a magazine I see sometimes. It's like Taylor Swift Living or Taylor Swift Cooking. I don't know. It's like a Taylor Swift fan mag. It's in the line at the grocery store, but it's her baking recipes and. But she didn't need to put, I feel like it's just kind of rude in that people gave you this past year, you've consumed the world. You've had so much attention. People have poured so much money and love into you. And you're like, you don't even give them a chance to breathe. You're like, give me more now. Mm-hmm. New album, applaud. Get ready for another tour.
Yeah.
Too much.
Yeah. Well, I think we should probably stop before we say something that gets taken out of context.
Let's take a quick little break for a second to like lock our doors
and erase all of our information. Let's use some Delete Me or some Aura and let's like get rid of all this. They're not sponsoring this podcast, but we will take a sponsor from them if they want it.
We'll be back, provided we're safe. BRB. I know this is supposed to be just pop culture, meaning non-Bravo, because Bravo consumes our lives, and we have Bravo Breakdown on Tuesdays. However, this slipped in because Bravo does consume our lives, and this is breaking news this week. And it should be a monument. It should have a plaque, a landmark. Sonia Morgan's townhouse, she announced, is going up for auction.
Mm-hmm.
After 10 or 11 years of trying to sell it on and off the market, Airbnb doing short-term leases month to month, she can't sell it. She cannot sell this thing. And so by auction, I do not mean foreclosure being sold off. I mean, when you can't sell a house after a while, like these luxury properties where there is some kind of base value, what's the inherent value to it, they just auction it and hope someone will come up with a decent amount. And that's what she's...
They did that on an episode of Buying Beverly Hills, which I still have not finished the season at all, because it's just not that compelling to me. However, yeah, that was the first time I'd heard of it. So then when it came up about Sonia's... But this is also my thing with Sonia's, that I sometimes wonder, like... We all knew it was falling apart.
Yeah.
You know, it was just falling apart. It just needed a lot of work. And I wonder, you know, you're our resident real estate agent here, but like, was she asking too much for what it was? Would it have been worth it? Could she have gotten a loan to remodel it? To like maybe get a little bit more value out of it? Like,
we've spent some time, like even on Twitter, some of our followers, we've had like these threads and stuff on what's wrong with it. Because we're trying to figure it out right now. She's asked a lot of different prices, $7 million, $9 million. Like it's always come down then come up. She can't sell it. And you know, a townhouse on the Upper East Side of New York is one of the most coveted.
Yeah.
It is such a big deal to have one, like beyond, hers won't sell. And so I have some theories. One is that if you look at the street view, hers is adjacent to a commercial parking lot.
Nope.
That is not good. That is not attractive. That is not desirable. It's like having your suburban house near a train track. You know what I mean? It's just... So it's like she has an amazing home in an amazing area in the worst possible little spot.
Well, with the worst neighbor, basically. Like, true. It's basically what you have is you got people coming and going all the time. You have that traffic, you know, there, and you have noise from that all the time.
Kind of like on Pump Rules, whenever they go to James House in Burbank, they flash to the airport. That's what she's in. Because the street she's on, the neighborhood, it's supposed to be quaint, quiet. And she is like the one townhouse next to this commercial building with a parking structure. And the other thing is, I bet a lot of people are hesitant to buy it because knowing her history and the very... Grey Gardens way about her and that home. I would worry about structural damage, something. I mean, it looks like
there's water damage in there.
Yeah, like she's like, they she's shown where, like, she's once with Dorinda. Dorinda offered to let Paul, what is his name, John, the dry cleaner,
yeah,
help her out because they were going through the basement and there was all these like moldy curtains from flooding, and you know it hasn't been maintained that well. She's upgraded here and there to keep up appearances. Mm-hmm. And so all I can say about it is it's the auction, their estimates, the auction house released today saying they're hoping to receive bids or expecting to at least in the 1.75 to 3.75, basically 1.5 to under 4 mil. Ooh. It's so, so cheap, which again makes me wonder what's wrong with it structurally. Yeah. Because on the, this is very rudimentary, just basic numbers. Her place is 4,400 square feet, and the average price per square foot on the Upper East Side in general is 1,500. So just like regular, using general neighborhood info, her townhouse should garner about 6.6 to 7 million, and they're expecting less than half that.
Oh my god!
I hope she gets top dollar. I like her. That house is her Grey Gardens. It mm-hmm. is what she's held on to from her former life mm-hmm. when she was a glamorous aristocrat.
But I also think it's what holds her back in life too. Mm-hmm. I think it's really held her back. So I think to get it sold, I mean, I'm hoping then that she can get maybe the higher end of like 3 million. I can see a developer buying it, gutting it, making mm-hmm. it one of those new modern style, like townhomes that we see all over the place, that not only in New York, but also in London as well.
Yeah.
And really like putting everything high end and selling it for probably closer to like, even with that terrible garage right next door, probably closer to like 10 million once they do all those upgrades to it.
I think that's a good idea. What you just said, switching it to a more modern style, because I think part of it is, and by the way, she's rebranded it as the Morgan Townhouse, the J. John Adams, whatever the society registry name for her ex-husband. But because the house is so traditional, so classic, so Upper East Side Gilded Age, and there it is next to this modern, ugly commercial parking structure, it doesn't fit. But if she makes it modern, that won't be such an issue. Well, you know, she has the silk wallpaper and the Mrs.
Well, and you can do that with a modern look. And I'm not a huge modern person per se. I do watch, there's on YouTube this there's this channel called The Luxury Home Show. It's out of Britain, and sometimes I look at some of these houses that they've done and I'm like, they all look alike, but then there's others that are quite interesting. And the ones that are, I find that are some of the more interesting ones, and when they've taken older Victorian homes, so they still have the outside Victorian-ness, and then they go inside and they'll keep the crown molding, they'll refurbish it, but then they'll strip down the floors, and they basically kind of keep the old style, like the good parts of the old thing and the bones, but then they might make it a little bit more open plan, they'll put in new features, they'll put in recessed lighting, they'll do all of those things to make it more modern. And especially the kitchen is a lot of times what they do. Kitchens and bathrooms, they'll really make those a lot better. And it just perks it up. And so I think if they're doing that in London, and I'm sure they're already doing that in New York. So I think that's great. You keep a bit of the old with the new. And I can see Sonia not being, as much as I love her, she's one of my Sagittarius sisters. Something about her keeps her held back in the past.
Right. It's like I remember once even Ramona gave her some tips on how she could freshen it up. Mm-hmm. And she was like, no, that wallpaper is like, I forget what it's called, like De Gournay, De More, very, very expensive Upper East Side, Bel Air. I forget what it's called. It's hand painted. So like, it's just she's what she's doing is selling to someone who wants that Gilded Age traditional. They don't want that house. That's not the market anymore.
It's not the market. But also, if she's not keeping it up, then it's worthless.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't keep that house up, then you're not keeping that wallpaper up. You're not keeping the parquet right. floors up. You're not keeping all of that stuff up. Therefore, it becomes worthless. So. Mm-hmm. That she's getting her own way.
So anyhow. Hopefully she cashes out, makes a few bucks, and is comfortable.
Well, we're going to be talking about it once the auction does go through. Yeah. So
I'll put in a bid. No.
Okay. Like $20.
Speaking of, this is Bravo adjacent. Speaking of grand homes that I'm obsessed with, once again, adjacent. Different family, different coast. Paris Hilton is a cool document. It was announced today. She has a new docuseries coming out about. It's very PCP.
Yeah.
What's the name of it? So what was the name of the book? It's called Toxic, right? She bought the rights to a book called Toxic. And it's about the relationship, the abuse that the It Girls of the 2000s, like her, endured from the press. So it's going to be, she didn't write the book, but it really resonated with her. She's a subject in it, and she, you know, right now she's done the special on Provo, and she's like going back and looking at what she pioneered and what she went through. And this one's about how they treated girls like her and Lindsay Lohan and Britney Spears. So
Misha Barton, like, it's, you know, I really appreciate Paris Hilton's rebranding of herself. And I mean that in a personal way to her, because I think, like, you know, she put on a mask that these things didn't hurt her back then, and the selling of herself as this is the only way to sell myself. And I'm sure that, like, I should read the book to see more, but I would also like to see more. But it's like, but also, like, in that time, it was like, this is what, still, like, you had to be thin, you had to be gorgeous, you had to be all of these things, or else you got torn up. And Paris was part of this new wave, the celebutante wave that I was so mad at, and because I was kind of like jealous of. Yet at the same time saw, like, how destructive it could be, but then also was mad at everybody who was so mean to them. Do you know what I mean? Like, I was like there was a bit of Schadenfreude, like being like, yeah, be mean, but oh no, that can turn on me so easily. You know what I mean? So it's been interesting to, like, see that. And it kind of makes me think of the Pink song, Stupid Girls, which was basically about her.
That and was Lindsay about and everything. Them.
And I wonder, because I like Pink a lot, and I like a lot of her music, but I wonder how she feels about that song now. I wonder if she's had a conversation with Paris Hilton or Lindsay Lohan about that, because I think that there should be, like, some growth and some sisterhood. Do you know what I mean? In regards to, like, because Pink was setting herself above, and, like, I think there was a group of us women who tried to be, like, more like Pink and be, like, oh, look down on women like that, while at the same time being, like, jealous of that. And
I know she's been criticized in recent years because the song was supposed to tell girls, I remember back then it was like edgy, she was telling girls don't be like them, be like empowered and stuff, but now people looking back at the song are like, you were being cruel to other women, and it was actually, like, kind of anti-feminist in a way. I know that wasn't her intention,
no,
but, and times have changed, which is another thing. So in modern context, that song was pretty cruel. It showed a girl modeled after Paris throwing up in the club bathroom with a bulimic. It showed a red haired girl driving drunk down Robertson, and Jessica Simpson. I forget. Yeah. She got a rough, she talks about it now. She has a book. She drank and did all this stuff because it would be like, she'd be like 8 pounds, not even overweight. She'd be a normal size. And they'd be like, that whale, she's disgusting. So, but she mocked her in it too. I remember one of the characters in the bowling alley scene. She has this. That was her.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Or, yeah,
she was being a pick me. That's it. We talk about pick me's a lot. At the time, she was being a pick me. I'm not like the other girls. Mm-hmm. I'm not like them.
I mean, hindsight's 2020 and age and like change. And I think it's like, it's very interesting. It's very interesting. But I think it'll be, I guess, since they've announced it, they're probably already working on it then.
Yeah, she has her own production company. It's called 1111, which if you guys are have been on Twitter, ever followed her, 1111 since like the day she joined, 1111 a.m. and p.m. She reminds you to make a wish, like clockwork, no matter where she is in the world, whatever the time, and the time zone matches up. So I don't know if it's an alarm, because I'll be like, it's not 11. I'm like, oh, maybe she's in like Hong Kong. I don't know. But without fail. So
interesting.
I'd like to get answers to that. I still don't know. Does she have an alarm? Does she have a bot? But it's her signature. So, and her wedding was on November 11th. It's like her thing. So
you should ask Kathy next time you're hanging out with her.
Yeah. Or pair. No.
Or pairs. Yeah.
Fingers crossed. We'll see. Oh, on that note.
That's it.
Yeah,
I think that's it. Yeah.
I think it's good. We've already we made it through the Swifties. Made it through. Yeah, let's call it a night before we're testing our luck here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, on that note, you know how you could help improve our luck and our fortunes? Just kidding. We don't have any fortunes, but help our journey.
Help us make our fortune.
Yes. By subscribing. That is correct. If you guys subscribe to Pretty Corrupt Podcast, our notifications will drop in your phone. So you won't have to worry. Like, what day is it? Is it 11/11? No. Is it Monday, Tuesday? Remember, Bravo Breakdown is on Tuesdays. PCP Pop Culture, this episode is on Thursdays, and of course sometimes we drop some PCP exclusives, bonus episodes as a surprise. So of course, on top of subscribing, please make sure to rate, review, and follow. We're on Instagram and TikTok at Pretty Corrupt Podcast and Twitter at Pretty Corrupt One. And from all those accounts, you can find our personal ones, Stacey's, Nate's, and mine. And find our journey, follow our journey into scrounging up enough of a deposit to qualify for a paddle just so we can sit in the auction at the Morgan townhouse.
Mm-hmm. New York, New York, here we come.
Adios. Cause no one can do it like we do it, like we do it, like we do it. Cause no one can do it like we do it, like we do it, like we do it.